Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crown Talking Drum, and the views and opinions expressed on the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network are solely those of the hosts, guests, and callers. These views and opinions do not represent those of the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network, its management, hosts, or advertisers. Thank you for listening to Crown Talking Drum.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. This is a program that looks at success, and success is defined by you. It's an individual journey to a place that you know. Success to me may look different than success to you. And there are many factors in that success. But in order to achieve it, that you have to envision it. You have to know what it looks like. If success to you is being able to walk into any restaurant that you want to, ordering whatever you want, then that is a measure of success. Now, you're going to have to do something to get there. My idea may be completely different. It may be something that I can prepare on side of a mountain. Yeah, that is exactly what I said, because there are many times when I have taken my motorcycle and gone to parts unknown. I'm a road rider, not off the road. There are some people that would love to do this off the road. But sometimes I have gone to different places and I found a fantastic view. And what I wanted to do was sit there and overlook the scenery. I wanted to hear the birds chirping. I wanted to see the ocean waves crash on the shore. I wanted to be in the mountains and feel the fresh air and see animals wandering around. All of these are different, but they are measures of success. I may want to write a book on something that is important to me. There are some of you listening that may be much more interested in listening to poetry. I like poetry, but I don't think that I could write a book of poetry. That's just not my stroke. But I understand and want you to understand that your idea of success and mine may be different. There are times when my idea of success was being able to buy a brand new motorcycle and just take off and go wherever I wanted to and stay how long I wanted to. I was able to fulfill some of that dream when we got a motorhome and I could go to parts unknown. I could go to a place, and if I liked it there, I could stay a day, a week, a month. And because of the work that I was doing, I could do it. It didn't make that much difference where I was as long as I had access to the internet. That, to me, was a dream fulfilled. Other people may want nothing to do with it. Some people may want to stay at home. One of the things that I would like to do is to have a place off the beaten path that was completely off the grid. I wasn't depending upon the power from some other source or anything else. And I had porches on the front and the back and the upper levels where I could change my view. I could enjoy what I was doing. Again, that may not be your dream. Don't worry about it. What is your dream? If your dream is to be able to pay for your kids going to college, any college that they wanted to, then that is a sufficient dream. That should motivate you. That should move you along the way towards that success. When things get rough, it keeps you on the path. It keeps you in the game. It keeps you in the fight. That is what we need to pursue. Now, we may have the same goal, but we may proceed on different paths. Now, why don't we all get there? And I think a lot of it goes back to the fact that there are so many, many discouraging things along the road that we go. When we're walking along the road, we see objects on the side that take our attention away from our main goal. This happens in life. We run across things that are interesting, and we need to be able to determine when that deserves some time, some focus, and when it doesn't. And when we find something that we can come back to. I find the best way to maintain this path is something that most of us do not do. Most of us don't do it. But it's a habit that we need to form. When I talk to younger listeners, and I hope that you are listening, many of you are listening by way of the computer or some other device. And when you do that, we appreciate you very much for being with us. The only disadvantage there is that I cannot see you on my switchboard and therefore open your microphone and talk with you. If you do have comments, questions, suggestions, disagreements, whatever, you can do so by calling 646-668-8217. Again, that number is 646-668-8217. I want to talk about a subject that I'll be talking about on Sunday in further detail. Because as we look at success, sometimes we have allowed ourselves to be intimidated away from success. And when I talk about that, two primary occupations come to mind. One is medicine, one is law. One is medicine, one is law. We see many people in the field of medicine. But I don't think we have enough diversity in the field of medicine. Neither do I believe that we have enough people in the field of law. But why do we get intimidated by those two subjects? One, we hear scientific terms, and it scares the bejesus out of us. Scientific terms? I'm not a scientist. But when you begin to study the words, and how do you do that? You have a dictionary, and there are specialized dictionaries. There are medical dictionaries, and there are legal dictionaries. Black's Law Dictionary is one that comes to mind prominently at this point. Because we often hear these terms, and we shut our minds off. That is too complicated for anybody to remember. It takes a genius to do that. No, it does not take a genius to do that. You can't be the dumbest kid on the block and do it, but you don't have to be very smart to do it. Why? Because we talk in scientific terms all the time. We just don't realize it. When we have slang come into our learning, our life, we're substituting a word for another word or feeling or concept. And we understand that. Now, if we proceeded into law or into medicine the same way, we wouldn't be so intimidated. you know, we see fingers, okay, we got fingers. But the bones in the fingers are the phalanges. The bones in the toes are the phalanges. When you see that word, you know that you're talking about the bones in an extremity, a hand or a foot. And there are other clues as to what something means. When we talk about pulmonary, we're generally talking about the lungs, the breathing system. When we talk about cardio, we're talking about the heart. And it goes on and on. Now, many times when we go to see our doctors, they are talking in scientific terminology. And that is fine because that's what they've been trained on. But sometimes it takes that person that is most knowledgeable to break it down into something that we can understand. When we go to a doctor and we don't know anything and we accept everything, many times we are not allowed to see the inner workings of what's going on. A doctor prescribes a medicine to you, and you don't say, what is this? What does it do? What do I have to watch out for? Then you are cheating yourself. You're also cheating the doctor because you are a team. When you go in, you are a team. You may start with zero knowledge, but you want to educate yourself in what's going on. No matter what the feel is, there are things that you can do. We used to laugh because most industries have something that is an inside joke, if you will. When I first started working on construction jobs, people would tell me to go get them a brick stretcher. Ah, I knew what a brick stretcher was. And so, yeah, I could do it. The joke was over. But to those that didn't and would go around asking people what it was, you might get all manner of answers given to you. Sometimes once you find out, you can explain to a person what it is. When many people would start working in the dairy industry, for example, and they were making ice cream, one of the favorite things was ask them to go upstairs and bring you some Overrun. Upstairs is full of Overrun, but you don't recognize it. You're the butt of the joke at this point. Overrun is the amount of air that gets beaten into ice cream. And generally, your less expensive varieties have more air beaten into it. They generally also have less butterfat and other things that change the mouth feel. So we go around sometimes in ignorance of our own doing because we don't ask. So if you're studying law, have a copy of Black's Around or have the temerity to look it up online. Understand it. Sometimes it takes more than one dictionary or encyclopedia to understand something. And I'll tell you about this. I am a motorcycle aficionado. I got involved in riding in the early 1970s, but I had never been on a motorcycle in my life. I had seen them. The thought of being able to ride one thrilled me because I saw it somewhat as freedom, kind of like a bird. You go into a turn, you lean into the turn, you do this, you do that. And I was fascinated by it. But at the time, I didn't have a dealer for the brand that I became interested in. I became interested in a particular brand because I knew several people that rode them. So there were some minor mechanical things that I could fix. But I didn't know. I'm not a mechanical engineer. I don't know anything about that. So what I did is I bought a manual. I bought the dealer's manual. And sometimes it went into things that were a bit technical for me. I didn't understand them. So I ended up with three different manuals. And many times what somebody could do with little or no effort, I had to read all three. Benefit is that at that point I understood. Now, many of us will look at things like this and think that we cannot conquer this mountain because it's so difficult. But what we do is we make a strategic plan, a strategic plan. When you walk into a restaurant, I don't care what kind of restaurant it is, if you go into a high-end restaurant and you order surf and turf, it might be a very fine cut of whatever animal. And it may be a combination in combination with some other sea creatures, lobster, crab, abalone, scallops, whatever it may be. Most of these are too large to just swallow down. So what do? We generally cut them into manageable size bites so that we can chew them, so we can savor them, so that we can ingest them, and so that we can get the nutritional value out of them. This is what we see, the roadblocks that are presented in our lives as we are pursuing whatever. I've used this example before. When we talk about climbing Mount Everest, it is the world's tallest mountain. But we have Sophia Dannenberg, who in 2006 climbed it, becoming the first black female to do so. She would have been the first black person had it not been for the year before a black male climbed it. This year we had an all-black team ascend that mountain. What they do is they strategically look at it. They strategically look at the task. How can we best accomplish this task? The least of which is not your physical endurance, but it is extremely critical in this mission. And that may start with walking around a block or two. You don't want to do so much of it that you become sore, that you get to the point where you don't want to do it again. And this, my friends, is why I tell you, make a schedule. Make a schedule that is reasonable, that you can adhere to. I had a friend that was, and I have done physical challenges with him before, but he's completely out of shape. And he was told, like many of us, that we need more exercise. And rather than going out doing a lap or two, he did as many as he could. And as a result, he got sore. He didn't want to go back. I don't want you to do that. But what we need to do is we need to rely on some of the basic principles that anybody could have. And that is writing down what you've done. I often see kids come home from work and they're from school. School, work, same thing. Because when my kids went to school, that was their job. That was their number one job. Because I wanted them to learn. I wanted them to learn how to use the information that was there. I wanted them to learn how to make decisions for themselves. These are criteria that were established. But when you go to school, many times you come home. What'd you learn today? Nothing. Now, you didn't sit up in a class for 50 minutes and learn nothing. When we go back and look at our notes from that day, they are extremely important, particularly when we get ready for semester or quarterly or whatever grading system we're on. It can give us a very good refresher. And that's what you need to do in your personal life. That's what you need to do. That's one of the ways of keeping it simple. And we always need to be willing to go back and look at what we learned or didn't learn, how we can become more efficient at what we're doing, more efficient. I give the example, and I've used it before because I did it for so many years. I thought and equated being busy with being productive. Right now, I live farther from the store than I used to, and I enjoy cooking. And when I ran across an ingredient I didn't have, I'd jump in the car and run up there and get it. But that was stupid, and I'll tell you why it was stupid. Because many times, even in the same recipe, I would need something else. Does that mean that I wasted my time the first time, or am I wasting my time the second time? I found that I could incorporate so much more if I kept a simple list of what I needed. And I would make this list by getting the ingredients that I needed before I started. Many times I'm up there scrambling through the cabinets looking for something that I should already know if I have or don't have. These are principles that should be guiding your life. These are principles that should be guiding your life. When you go to work, what do you need to get your job done? If there is something out, what do you do? Do you let somebody know so that they can order it? Do you look for an alternative? Do you look for a plan B? All of those may be the right answer. It depends on a number of circumstances. But you must be willing to look at it. You must be willing to determine whether you made the best decision. Because I want you to get in the habit of making decisions. Making decisions. Many of us don't get anywhere because we don't make a decision. Let's say you have a year, 2 years working on a book, but you can't get it published because you can't get the cover that you want. You may be wasting time trying to do it yourself. You may be wasting time trying to do it yourself. There are people with a wide range of rates that can do it. And let's say you pay somebody and you pretty much like it, but you want some things tweaked. Sometimes you can go to them to do it. Sometimes you may have to upgrade in order to do it. But you want to be strategic. Sometimes it's going to take you another year to learn a skill that you might not be very great at. Could have saved you a lot of time by hiring somebody for $25, $50, $100, $250, whatever the case may be, to do it for you. This is what makes it easy. This is what makes it simple. And I'm not saying that everything that you need costs money, that you can throw money at every problem that you have and resolve it, because that is not the best way. It is a way. And for some people with some topics, it is the best way. For others, not so much so. My creative side doesn't go there. I need help when it comes to that. But I have different resources that I can use. And this is working smarter. This is keeping it easy. This is keeping it simple. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what success is. Success requires tenacity. It requires sticking with it. But as we have talked about many times before, and I will do it again because it's so important, there are things that you want to do without spending 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, drudging away at your dream. There may be times when that's what's necessary. There may be times when you can do that for extended periods of time. In most cases, we need to have frequent breaks. I suggest that you don't work hour after hour after hour after hour because you become fatigued. You may not feel it, but you do. I had a spreadsheet I used to work on, and I was so pig-headed that I would want to get the whole thing done. And so I would sit there and work on it and work on it and work on it until I realized that if I took frequent breaks, refreshed myself, sometimes by walking around the house, sometimes by getting a glass of water or some other beverage, generally not alcohol, or whatever it took to refresh myself. Sometimes it even involved watching a favorite TV show. Sometimes it was one from the day before because I had my schedule and I could work it, and this was a deviation during that time. Sometimes when I'm on a creative jag, I need to hang out there for a little while. And sometimes the TV show is in the midst of it. There is no absolute right or wrong answer. It's what fits you. And that's what you want to keep track of. We make a list of 10 things to do. That list may be way too long, and it can be demoralizing. Why? Because after a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, there may be some things that you never have even gotten to. I think a more manageable list is better. It gives you the opportunity to see in smaller, digestible chunks. If you get prime rib, you can't just stuff the whole thing in your mouth. You're going to savor it. And you're going to do that by cutting it into small, manageable pieces. Same thing you're going to do with any task. Let's say you have item on your list, which is number one. And let's say that is writing a book. Sitting down writing a book in one fell swoop is probably not going to happen. But you might understand that part of that may be X number of words. And you may be able to do that in 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever number of days is necessary. And even at that, you may have to go back and rewrite it. There's nothing wrong with any of those steps if that's what it takes to bring the quality that you want to your product. You have to determine that. There are many products on the market that are not the exceptional value or the highest quality available, but they meet the needs of your avatar. That's the person that you are doing whatever it is for. If you're an auto mechanic, what do most of your customers look like? And why is that important? Because when you have older clients, they may need a certain type of repair. Younger ones may be looking more for something that they can buzz around in, that they can real fast, that they can make lots of noise with, or whatever the case may be. And sometimes they are not necessarily compatible. Many people try to be a generalist. I can do anything. It might be better for you to work on engines and somebody else to work on radiators. as you switch between one and the other. Some people can do it, and some people can do it successfully because they're set up for that. But most of us aren't. Most of us aren't. So you need to find out what you are, who you're doing it for, and why. What drives you on? It may be making a loaf of bread. And there's some artisans that do a tremendous job in that area. How do you do that? Many times you're going to have to hoof it. You're going to have to go to farmers markets. You're going to get people to recognize the brand, the quality, the quantity, everything that goes into it. And you build a following and you enlarge it and enlarge it and enlarge it. And even within that, you may find that there are selective groups. There may be some people that are looking for organic. There may be some that are not. There may be some that are more price conscious than others. But you have to determine who your market is, and you have to tailor many things for them. Does that mean that people that are not in that particular demographic will not buy? No, that's not at all. We see many products on the market, and they are focused on someone. Sometimes take a look, use your VCR, record some commercials, just whatever. If you have a specific type, do it. If not, look at others and see if you can find out who they are focusing their attention on. You don't necessarily focus baby carriages on 70-year-olds, although they do have grandchildren, but most of the people that are going to buy them are going to be much, much younger parents. And you have to realize that. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have a separate campaign or that you can't do it that way. But it does mean that the likelihood is going to be that younger demographic. People just getting started out. And that may be a way that you can place your ads, target your ads. Most products are targeting somebody out there. Most of the time you don't see a brand of water come on and say, everybody can drink this, so buy some. They usually appeal to a certain demographic. It may be the young person, the young sports person. I can see that, and I can appreciate that. But I am well beyond that age when I'm going to be out running and in the Boston Marathon and grab a bottle of water to pour over my head or drink. That's just not me. But I can see that young person doing it and say, ah, that looks very refreshing. But if you were to target that older person who can barely move, you're probably not going to appeal to too many of your largest group of consumers, which are those small, active people. So no matter what area you get in, and I encourage you very strongly to write. And you don't have to be an author in order to do this. You can do it in outline form. You can do it in topical form. You can do it in whatever form. But I find that the more of your body you can get involved in what you're doing, the easier it is to remember. The easier it is to remember. I find that writing something requires a different level of concentration than typing something. Yeah, there are many times when I type it, but there are also many times when I write it. And sometimes I do both. Why do both? Because it makes it that much better. We're trying to get our entire being involved in the process. our entire being involved in the process, the mind, the heart, the soul. And the more of those parts of our body that we can get involved in it, the better we are. When we can visualize and see what's taking place and appeal to as many of the senses that we can, then we are making inroads into that. When we are often sitting in church, for example, sometimes our mind wanders, and it wanders way, way, way away. But when we can get into that message, into that word, and we can see what's going on, we can see the Savior talking to someone as our grandparents would talk to us with love and sometimes even stronger language, but you know that behind it, there is a reason. We begin to tune in. We begin to plug in to those ideas. And this is the same with any idea that you have. Because that idea, in my mind, comes from the universe. When I see a product, I don't make, and I have not made every product that I saw. Some of them I thought would set the world on fire. But it just didn't set that passion off within me. It did not do that. So I'm waiting for the next train to come along. Now, somewhere I'm going to have to get on a train. And if I find that, no, this is not doing it for me, why? Why? You have to be able to ask yourself questions. I used to be... Think that I was going straight to heaven if I read the Bible in 6 months or if I read the Bible in a year. And I've done both plans, and I don't like either one because it forces me to a place that I don't want to be. It forces me to a place of calling words just to reach an artificial goal. I find that there's sometimes when it might be better for me to study one book over a year and get some understanding out of it. Is that wrong? I can't compare myself to everybody in the race. I cannot, and it's not fair. We see examples of this time and time again. When we consider the tortoise and the hare, tortoise is slow, lumbering animal. Rabbit's fast. Rabbit should be able to win every race between those two, but it doesn't. Sometimes that tortoise, merely by the fact that persistence drives him on, that he can win that race. Same thing happening with you, my brothers and my sisters. Moving forward at a steady pace is better than jackrabbit starts and stops and then getting lost and trying to figure out what you're doing. No matter what the case may be, we do that. We find that we fill different roles. When we go to our church, some of us are great at greeting people coming in. Others at singing in the choir. Now, I'd have to fall in that group of greeting people because I can't sing worth 2 cents forte. I enjoy music, but that level of skill is not mine. Earlier, when I was younger, I used to spend time and did fairly okay at it, but I was not going to set the Billboard charts on fire with anything. I had to recognize that. Is there a possibility that I could have improved? Yes, a great possibility. But it takes more than just wishing. It takes more than just wanting. When we see people like George Washington Carver, who we give credit for being a great scientist, and he was, although our efforts and recognition of him are somewhat misguided, and I've talked about this before, he spent time before going into his laboratory communicating with his creator. That means with God. He looked at the problem. He looked at solutions. He looked for inspiration. He looked for guidance. He put them together, and he had a plan when he walked into the laboratory. He didn't take books into his laboratory. He took knowledge. Now, many of you are still searching to find out where is your knowledge, where is your passion. Do not give up. Do not give up. Sometimes we see an image of ourselves. And a few weeks back, I talked about an individual that was a friend of Steve Harvey's. And he didn't run with Steve in the gang because he had to get up early the next morning because he liked lawn care. This is a young person. We sometimes think that young people don't have any brains, any sense, any direction whatsoever. That is definitely not true. But he was able to build up his business. Now, several years ago, and I don't know how far, and I'm sure that he's gone beyond this, he was doing $800,000 a year pursuing what he liked. There are some people who have gone to college that have majored in very technical areas that are not doing that. One right, one wrong? No. That is what's right for him. You may be able to succeed at it, but the question comes down, are you happy at it? We find people, and I found myself in this particular position. I was trapped in what I thought was success because I was making a decent salary. I was able to provide for my wife, my kids, for school, and whatever. But there was something gnawing at me that said, you can do more. You can do better. But I was afraid to give up the security. There is a way that I could have done it because I could have worked at it part-time until I built up a client base, a following, whatever is necessary to do there. I could have done it. I did not have the maturity. I did not have the knowledge. This is why we tune in here. This is why we look for comments from you. JCA, like my initials, the road to success, that being the number two, at Gmail. I enjoy going to that site, looking, seeing the questions, seeing the frustrations, seeing the solutions that many of you have. This is not a program where only I talk because I learn something from you. Yes, I learn from you. Don't ever go around thinking that you can't learn something from someone else, even if you are successful. Sometimes the nuggets of much greater success are right in your face. But we go around with this haughty attitude that I got it all. I can do it. You need a degree of self-confidence in order to do it. You need that. You need to believe in yourself. When I talk about Wendell Scott was a black man who competed in NASCAR racing. And for those of you that have an inkling of NASCAR racing, it takes lots of money because you have to not only buy a car, but you have to do a lot of mechanical work. And some of that is not cheap. But Wendell believed in himself. He had a plan. And that is that some of these guys that had all the money in the world would get equipment and couldn't make it work. Where was his strong suit? Where was Wendell's strong suit? I can make it work. I can make it work. When he can't make it work, I will make it work. That's a self-confidence that you have. When people accused Muhammad Ali of bragging, he said, ain't bragging if you can back it up. It ain't bragging if you can back it up. You have to have a belief in yourself, friends. And that comes from the very, very beginning in understanding who created you and what model and what did they have in mind for you. Success was what's in mind. Failure was not. But we have so many things that get in our way. I just wrote a post on a guy by the name of Joseph Jackson. Joseph Jackson failed in sixth grades, and he was almost 18, and in the seventh grade when he dropped out. But he is a great, great inventor. One of the things he invented was the wireless TV remote control. And the story is there. The difference between him and anybody else, and he probably suffered more failure than most people will ever do it, but he never gave up on himself. He never gave up on himself. He went to work at the age of 17 in oil fields, doing some of the dirtiest work imaginable. And when he was 18 years old, he was able to go into the Army. Now, most people would have considered that success, but not him, because he worked on his GED. And when he got his GED, that allowed him the opportunity to go to radio and TV school. And as an Army enlisted man, he was at Fayetteville, North Carolina, and ran a radio and TV shop where he learned a lot. As you read this article, and it's going to be out in a week or two, because this week I want you to understand the post that's up there. It's about a lady by the name of Haben Girma. And some of you are trying to figure out what kind of name that is. Her parents came from Ethiopia and Eritrea. Eritrea is the country right next door to Ethiopia. We sometimes look at Africa and think that there's nobody over there but a bunch of people in grass huts. But Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia, has almost 3 million people in it, my friends. We go around with a skewed view of reality, because that's what we've been beaten over the head with time after time after time. And we can no longer do that. We have to go back to believe in ourselves, believe in information, and that's why we do the AmazingBlackHistory.com. I want you to join me at 4 o'clock on Sunday. You can use the same link that you did to get to this program from 4 to 5:30. And we do open it up and ask for questions, comments, suggestions, disagreements, whatever you may have. But Haben Girma, a black female, was the first deaf and blind person to graduate from Harvard Law School. She couldn't hear. She couldn't see. And most of us would just throw up our hands and say it is impossible at this point. Can't be done. Helen Keller did it. Haben Girma did it. And she worked to expand civil rights for disabled people. She still has an impact. And it's still going strong. How does a person do this? A person does this by believing in themselves, not taking no for an example. We've already talked about it being one of the challenges that many people see as too daunting for them to undertake. But here is a woman who succeeds at it. She went to Portland State in Oregon. And one of the things that motivated her sounds like a nothing to anybody else. But they were supposed to supply menus in Braille for the blind students. She's deaf, but she's also blind, but she can read Braille. And she carries around a machine with her that allows her to read Braille. Generally, she has somebody that can type, but there are other ways of getting that signal to her. And what she was most disturbed about was because she didn't know what was in any of the five lines in the cafeteria was when she would miss out on chocolate cake. Chocolate cake was a motivator for her to the cafeteria managers and said, no, I need this. Well, when we get around to it, we'll do it. Some days we do it and some days we don't. She took the case. They now do it. It is part of the routine. Things that we think are impossible become routine when we make them so. We are faced with many, many problems, and we're not going to solve them if we don't become involved. Success needs your support. Success for our lives is dependent upon you and what you can do. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got about 7 minutes remaining in the broadcast. I want to encourage everybody that listens to the broadcast to expand our sphere of contact by mentioning the program to others, inviting others to join us, and even you participating in the program by calling in, asking those questions that you have, or emailing JCA, the road to success at gmail.com. Do that so that we can all profit, that we can all benefit. Now, the number again, and I'm doing a better job of trying to get this out, is 646-668-8217. That number can be used for all of the programs on blogtalkradio.com/crowntalkingdrums. We have programs on most nights of the week. We're always looking to improve them. As you notice, my program title has been upgraded slightly, and I'm making a little bit more focus on the side of that equation. But the program is for you and what we can do. I want all of us to succeed. There is nothing greater for me than to see the students that I have taught, mentored, worked with, given ideas, succeed. That's the purpose. It's not for self-glory. I want you to look at this story of Harbin Girma, and we have a special guest coming on Sunday who has worked with blind students and I think deaf students. I have worked with both in my career. It is a fantastic opportunity to see what you can do. Now, in deference, we have a great program coming on after us, and it will be starting at 8 p.m., and I want to get off in time so that Deacon Armstrong can get his program on and going at the appropriate time. Listen to that program. Look at others that we may have. Join us on Thursday at 7, Sunday at 4, and I think that you'll continue to get great information, but I most of all want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. So with that, my friends, the program that you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie, The program is dedicated to you. It's one of the better parts of my week. I look forward to this. I want you to join us again. But with respect to Deacon Armstrong, great program. Tune back in. You can use the same credentials that you used to tune in to get back into his show, and so that he can start at 8 p.m., we will finish this one. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed, and I'll see you again. This is John C. Abercrombie. The program is Faith on the Road to Success, and join us Sunday for History Has Footprints. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.